Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Pennsylvania lawmakers will consider legislation that would further restrict abortions. The so-called heartbeat bill would ban abortions once a physician has detected a heartbeat in a fetus. That usually occurs at between 6 and 8 weeks of pregnancy. Current Pennsylvania law allows abortions up to 24 weeks into a pregnancy. On today's program, we'll hear from both supporters and opponents of one of the most contentious issues in America. Joining us up front today is Republican State Senator Doug Mastriano of Franklin County. Senator Mastriano, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Scott. It's great to be back with you.
We know that there are a lot of opinions on this issue, and we'd like to hear from them within reason. And if you give us a call, 1-800-729-7532, we'll try to get you on the air. You also can leave a question or a comment via email, sending it to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Senator, you are one of the sponsors of the heartbeat bill, this legislation. Tell us what the legislation would do. I mentioned, just the parameters in the introduction, but what would this legislation do?
Yeah, so it was my pleasure, together with Representative Stephanie Borowitz, to introduce 2 weeks ago the heartbeat bill, and that's Senate Bill 912 and House Bill 1977. And the bottom line of this whole thing is we're trying to look, Scott, I got it. This is a really hard issue. It's very polarizing. It's very emotional. It's very personal. I get it. And so how do we address one of the most important topics of our generation? And I believe a scientific approach and a medical approach to this whole process here and discussion and debate. And so the bottom line of the heartbeat bill, if there's a heartbeat detected when a lady's pregnant, there's a life, and therefore it should not be aborted. And okay, that's a pretty bold statement there. What is Doug Mastriano talking about here? Life is measured by heartbeats. If, God forbid, one of us has a medical emergency here and we have to call 911 and they come in and the first thing they check is a pulse. Is there life? And of course, a heartbeat is a sign of life. So therefore, if end of life is determined by the end of a heartbeat, should not it be determined by the beginning of a heartbeat? And we say yes, medically and scientifically.
Okay, well, you quote science, but let me go to something that the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists say, and they oppose the bill, saying that what is actually detected at 6 weeks is not a heartbeat, but a group of pulsing cells that will eventually become a heart as the embryo develops.
And clearly the baby takes 9 months to develop fully in the womb, and we see that. And thankfully we have medical science that has advanced so much that oftentimes the second, even third trimester babies can survive outside. 20-some week babies have survived outside the womb, and grown up to adulthood now, thanks to modern science. But that's a bunch of scientific mumbo-jumbo. It's just not true. Let me read you actually what the U.S. National Library of Medicine says. They declare here emphatically and scientifically, based off of this year's science, week 6 and 7, the baby's heart continues to grow and now beats at a regular rhythm. So what these people call an electronic pulse, that's the thing that drives, say you need a pacemaker. It drives, there's an electronic pulse there, drives your heartbeat. So it is today, so it is at 6 weeks. It's an electronic pulse. Yes, the cardiovascular system is not fully developed, and it won't be until later on, obviously, and neither is the heart, but it's detectable. You could even hear it with a special probe, of course, because it's very faint.
When you say about a bunch of scientific mumbo-jumbo, what's the organization you quoted?
I quoted from the U.S. National Library of Medicine on this
whole
thing.
Who are they affiliated with?
They're a federal government. They're a nonpartisan group. You know, what's interesting to me, of course, we came out with the heartbeat bill, and we had various people come out against it. One of them is a highly paid attorney representing the abortion interests, and she came out and said something similar. Her name is, of course, is...
Okay. By the way, while you're looking for that, who is the abortion interest? How would you identify the board?
Anyone paid or supplied by the Planned Parenthood organization, the leading organization of abortion in our nation. And
but okay, when you make it. It sounds as if you're almost comparing that to like some kind of organized crime syndicate.
Well, you know, I compare our fight here much as like, you know, it's an interesting statement there, Scott. I think of William Wilberforce in the 1700s and 1800s. And what did he take on? He took on the slave trade. And, of course, the slave trade industry was very wealthy. It drove a lot of the British Empire in its market. And it also owned a lot of the minister of parliaments. They were bought and paid for. And in this case here, and that's a strong statement to say, but I could tell you that Planned Parenthood is on record as providing up to $2 million for Governor Wolf's reelection. And they're very clear on that they wanted him to stay in office because of his stance and support and his involvement with Planned Parenthood. And so that's why I have a strong view of this. So when we have attorneys and other folks who claim to be medical doctors saying it's not really a heartbeat, it's just nonsense because it goes against science.
But, okay, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, when you're saying it's just not science, I mean, these are doctors who deliver babies, you know, provide prenatal care, work with women for years, and you're discounting their opinion on it?
Yeah, because it's not rooted in science. Let me read you with Susan.
Why is it not rooted in science?
Well, let me go right into this. So the person I was looking for, his name is Susan Freeches. She's a very well-paid Women's Law Project senior attorney. And she asserts here that all we're doing here is trying to achieve some cheap political points. And that's just not the case here. We're trying to save lives. You know, it kind of drives me crazy. That's my entire life in the Army, and I've been sent to the four corners of the earth. Now, look, I'm no hero. I don't want to overplay my service, but I served with heroes. But the lengths we'll go to defend our people from those who mean us harm. And I come home to the nation here, and we look the other way. So Roe v. Wade, which triggered all this in 1973, the Supreme Court, first off, refused to hear the medical science of that time, which is now over 50 years old. I mean, that's half a century old science. And what's interesting to me, after we came out with the heartbeat bill, the same old tired dinosaur brontosaurus arguments are rolled out here as if it's 1973. And we've advanced so far. We now have 4D technology to see what's going on inside the womb there. It's undeniable. There's a group of medical doctors who used to be abortionists. And after watching an abortion on 4D, one in particular, he committed over 2,000 abortions. When he saw the baby trying to escape the probe and the needles and all that, he turned his back on it and is one of the leading voices for the pro-life movement. So I'm saying, come let us reason. Let's look at modern science. Let's face reality and have a discussion. I'll ask the listeners out there, even if you're on a polar opposite side of this issue from Doug Mastriano, please hear me out, and I'll ask you to determine and judge which side is more rational, which one is more science-based and medically-based.
Well, you see, a couple things, Senator, that you've said already that I think muddies the waters when it comes to this issue. You've already talked about making it a comparison to the slave trade, and you've talked about protecting people around the world as part of your military service. Many people would look at that and say, what does that have to do with abortion? That muddies the water. It plays on people's emotions, that they don't see the comparison between the slave trade, other than at one time it was legal in this country. But there were other countries in the world that realized that slavery was wrong from the very beginning. So I guess the point I'm making is whenever this discussion happens, it often doesn't focus on science or focus on what's real.
All right, so let's go to science. Let's talk to Doc.
No, wait a second. That's not what I'm. If you would, just answer that question, though. Doesn't it muddy the water to talk about this?
It absolutely does not. Okay, let me ask you this, Scott. Is it a baby? And that's the bottom line.
It's not mine.
Is it a human? And I'll go to science on that. Dr. Michelle Matthews Ross of Harvard University Medical School says, it is scientifically correct to say that an individual human life begins at conception and that this developing human always is a member of our species at all stages of life. It's not a Labrador retriever. Even pro-abortionists such as Naomi Wolf, a Clinton advisor and strong abortion advocate, says, clinging to the rhetoric about abortion in which there is no life and no death, we entangle our beliefs in a series of self-delusions, fibs, and evasions. The death of a fetus is a real death. And she's pro-abortion. And I'd say, if you're on the other side of the issue, at least admit the facts.
Mm-hmm. What this does, your bill, what it does is it goes back to the very basics of Roe versus Wade and when that decision was made, and that is when life begins. Courts have determined, and the law is here in Pennsylvania, is when a fetus is viable, I hate to use that terminology, that can live outside the womb. In Pennsylvania, the law says 24 weeks, that before 24 weeks, there was little chance of a fetus surviving outside the womb. Now, I see you have papers in your hand that are probably going to tell me that that's not the case. But still, that's what the accepted science has said, that outside the womb, that a fetus could not survive. I know that some people said 20 weeks, but say 24 weeks, what the law says right now. So, you know, that's what the law says right now, that it is, if you know, if you there would not be a baby born if it was outside the womb at 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, I mean, it's just fascinating to me. Even those who are on the other side of the issue of this whole thing here agree with me. Because the question, the bottom line for me, is it a human? Is it a life?
It will be.
And unfortunately, today we still hear the 1973 argument, oh, it's a clump of tissue. And a lot of times women going into the clinics, and this is not an outlier, this is generally true, oh, it's just a clump of tissue, don't worry about it. And I say that's just utter nonsense. Dr. Bernard Nathanson, the co-founder of the abortion advocacy group, NARAL, we know them, NARAL, and he personally presided over 60,000 abortions, admits in 2014, modern technologies have convinced me that beyond question, the unborn child is simply another human being, another member of the human community, indistinguishable from us in every other way or fashion. And he's talking about it at all stages. At least he's willing to admit that. And that's you know, why do I compare it to the slave trade? Because that was the single most important issue of the 1700s, 1800s. And as a historian, I have a PhD in history. As a historian, I see this battle right here similar. You know, and it's very hard for me to come to terms with the illogical red herring fallacies that are thrown at us when we talk about it. Because we'll want to have a discussion and debate about this, Scott, and then I'll hear, well, what about this? What about you pro-lifers only care about this and not when after the baby's born and the mother's left on her own?
Some people would say that's a legitimate argument. And once the baby is born, conservatives like yourself often don't want to fund programs for children living in poverty, for example.
And in debate societies, we call that red herring, a distraction, because I'm going to answer that, though. I'm not going to let that red herring get away. I'm going to grab that fish by the tail. But it does distract us from the whole point. Is it a human life, and should that she or he live? Okay, so that whole debate now, you pro-lifers only X, that is such a big red herring. So Pregnancy Ministries Incorporated takes care of the mothers if they need the assistance and want the assistance during the pregnancy, during delivery, which expensive medical costs, and also afterwards providing for specific needs. In one case here, Governor Wolf issued an edict, which I wrote a letter to President Trump about here a year and a half ago. His Department of Health and Human Services banned pro-life groups, Christian organizations such as Christian Charities for assisting with adoption and foster care because he disagrees with their religious views. And so an edict was issued a year and a half ago, crushing 300 years of Pennsylvania tolerance towards religious sects and views and what have you, such as the Quakers and others, and prohibiting Christian organizations from being involved in adoption and foster care. And it left about 10% of our children languishing in these homes waiting to be adopted. And then a few months after that, the same department that issued this intolerant, bigoted edict against the Christian groups said we need more adoption families and foster care families because we can't place them all. Well, that's something that Harrisburg did to itself. You've got to be kidding me. So myself and 11 other senators wrote a letter to President Trump, and this is all part of this whole thing here. Do pro-lifers care about after birth? Yes, we do. And we asked Donald Trump to roll back one Obama-era regulation from HHS that allowed Governor Wolf to do this, and Donald Trump suspended that regulation, and now it's illegal to push out Catholic Charities and other organizations. Because why are kids and babies used as a political pawn of the left? It's disgusting to me, just as it was the slave trade. You know, we're told all these things, if you study history and see the arguments used, are very similar today, 200 and some years later.
We have a lot more to talk about. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. I want to talk to you about Smart Talk Road Trip that's coming up next week. It returns to the Extraordinary Give in Lancaster on Friday, November 22nd. Join us at the Holiday Inn of Lancaster Extraordinary Experience event, where we'll broadcast live beginning at 9 a.m. RSVP at WITF.org/events, supported by Roof Advisory Group. On today's program, we're talking about the proposed heartbeat bill in Pennsylvania that would ban abortions after a heartbeat has been detected. That usually is between 6 and 8 weeks in a pregnancy. We will have both sides, opponents and supporters. Our supporter right now is Republican State Senator Doug Mastriano of Franklin County. He's one of the sponsors of the heartbeat bill. If you have a question or a comment, we'll get to as many as we can. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Senator, before we get to some of these emails and phone calls, one of the big arguments against the heartbeat bill is that many women do not know they are pregnant between 6 and 8 weeks, that it is after that point that they have been officially determined or diagnosed as pregnant. So if this bill were to become law, you would have many women who would say, you know, I didn't know I was pregnant. And for whatever reason, if they would have chosen an abortion, they couldn't at that point.
So that takes us back to the basic question again. Is that a baby? And if it is a baby, it should live. Let me now we have a whole group, about 18,000 in Pennsylvania. So last year, a year and a half ago, the Wolf's 2018 report on the 2017 abortion statistics. That's the most recent I have here before me, Scott. And he says there's 30,011 abortions in Pennsylvania in 2017. Wolf's report. That's his own report. And of those, more than half were African-American Hispanics, make 20% of our population, providing more than 50% of the abortions. I have a problem with that. There's a war of injustice to our people. The so what is, okay, now we have 18,000 of those abortions happen at the early stage in the first trimester, according to this report. So what do we propose in Harrisburg? Here's Doug Mastriano's next legislation here. It's a save a life legislation. I guess I'll call it that. Just made it up. But according to filings with our Department of State in Harrisburg, I'm dealing with facts here. I'm not making stuff up. It filed Form 990 from Planned Parenthood. About $4 million of taxpayer money was supplied to Planned Parenthood in 2017. So my legislation would be, let's shift that money to supporting and helping women who are in need, who find themselves pregnant and can't support themselves through that. So okay, we can make a difference there and save lives.
But supporting, and I'm assuming you're talking about finances, family finances, and living in poverty, their socioeconomic.
Yes.
But there are women who make a decision not based on that. And, you know, so basically what you're saying, I want to get back to the 6 to 8 weeks. Basically, what you're saying is the rights of the unborn supersede the rights of a woman's right to choose, which is legal now.
What I'm saying here is that every human being in the United States of America should have a right to life, whether born or unborn, and no rights are supplanted. There is a war against women, and it's happening in the womb. There's a war against African Americans in Philadelphia because most of the abortions occurring, according to Governor Wolf's own report, which is kind of interesting to read, it comes out of the African American community in Philadelphia. So I'm all about all my life I've been fighting for freedom and defending rights. That's relevant to this whole argument here. And I'm just now in Harrisburg fighting for the rights of the most defenseless. You know, when I was in Afghanistan, my first two tours there, I was a bit frustrated that I did nothing really positive other and just take out bad guys. I guess we could argue that's a positive. So I kind of made a promise to God, if he sends me back a third time, I would try to make a difference with orphans. And I guess what, I went back the next year, and so I reached out to their most vulnerable, and that's the orphans. And so in this case here, we're just now bringing the fight to Pennsylvania and trying to save these young people. They have rights too, don't they?
But Senator, I want to get back to my original question, was that when you say supplant the rights of women, right now a woman does have, the Supreme Court in the United States said a woman does have a legal right to an abortion. So if you're saying that if there is a heartbeat detected, that woman's right that is now legal, that she now has, goes away, and the right of that unborn child, as it would grow up to be, becomes supersedes that woman's right to choose.
So the Supreme Court ruled before the American Civil War. It was an escaped slave that made his way to the South. And they ruled on a Dred Scott decision that the slave owners had rights over that person, and that person had no individual freedoms or rights. And so I'm saying here, this is just a modern version of Dred Scott decision here, based off of science and medical and advances in medicine, 50 years since Roe v. Wade. That's a person. That person has a right to life. You know, our founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence said, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life was their number one issue even then. And they had no idea we're going to be on this path here of 60-some million, according to CDC, abortions across the nation. And could you imagine, we have these debates, oh, hey, we have a workforce need, we can have enough people joining the military. Well, we killed 60 million of our own people, and that's now 40 years on since 1973, 40-plus years on. Imagine that's 100 million Americans killed. So we're inflicting this own disaster upon ourselves. And so once again, Scott, I'm looking you in the eyes and answer you directly. If that's a human, that person deserves a right to live and a right to life.
And that person has more of a right than to life than a woman has the right to choose.
So the slaveholder in a Dred Scott decision rights?
Just a yes or no on that one.
They have equal rights under the law. Just as Thaddeus Stevens argued against slavery before the House in 1865. They have equal rights before the law.
Let's take a phone call from Chloe in Middletown. Chloe, you're on the air.
Hi. I get a little frustrated from this conversation. I was raised conservative Christian, and I was anti-abortion. But even when I was anti-abortion, I'm pro-abortion now. It really frustrated me that everyone would be arguing about abortion when I feel like people will get an abortion regardless of whether or not it's legal. And if you get an illegal abortion, you're more likely to die. And you're more like the woman is more likely to be injured. The baby is more likely to be injured if the baby survives. And overall, like I probably am more likely to get an abortion than to give my kid up for adoption because the foster care system is not like something that I would want to put a child through. So if we could stop arguing about abortion and instead focus on making sure that people have like access to contraceptives and aren't scared of giving up their kid for adoption, I think that would actually improve the lives of so many people.
Chloe, thank you very much for your call. Senator, you didn't like that last part. Where...
Well, that's a typical red herring. Chloe, you don't have access to contraception? That's absolute nonsense. There's more contraception available. It's being paid for out of taxpayer dollars if you need it. So that's absolutely nonsense. If you get pregnant, that girl or boy deserves to live. You have no right to determine whether they live or die. I mean, this ended under Constantine in the Roman Empire in the 4th century, and now we're back to doing this here. Governor Northam in Virginia said he was okay with killing a baby to survive the third trimester abortion. And we'll set the baby aside. I'll have a discussion, keep him comfortable. I could read the quote.
Isn't
here.
That a bit of a red herring, though, too? It happens very rarely.
It absolutely is not with modern science. We talked to Dr. Ben Carson, and how many babies did he operate on within the womb? And that survived.
But I'm just saying that third trimester, that is something that there's a lot of emotion with that, but that happens very, very rarely. Let me take another.
You know what? If it even happens only once, it does matter. And the baby should be taken care of. It's equal justice and equal rights under the law. And that's what our forefathers all said. There should be no special cases. Why should somebody who has more power over someone else? I'm an army man and I have power over the people. And so can I eliminate other people just because I'm stronger? And thus, in the case here, that baby there is defenseless, deserves all the justice and rights that are promised to us by our Constitution.
Any exceptions for rape or incest in this bill?
Yeah, so that's one thing. You know, the Republican Congress in the 1980s, led by Chris Smith and Henry Hyde, leading the charge on this whole abortion debate there, they actually had the majority of the Democrats even willing to support a restriction on abortion in the House of Representatives. And they had Ronald Reagan as a president. It would have passed overwhelmingly. But the problem was the Democrats asked for those exceptions, and the Republicans refused to budge on that. And as a result, we have unbridled abortion with some restrictions here. Now, look, I hope the viewers out there and the listeners out there, rather, had a chance to listen to our press announcement. It was a fantastic press announcement. I was told it was one of the best that has happened in Harrisburg in years. And I think the key thing was we had Kathy Barnett as our keynote speaker. And I'll wrap this up here so we get another question in. And I had no idea when I invited her, she's from outside of Philly, to come and speak. She's just a dynamic speaker who's often on Fox News. She's a rising star there. And then when she came and talked, she told her personal story that she was conceived in rape. Her mother was raped at 11 years old. And Kathy Barnett was standing up on there and sharing her very personal story and said, I had no role in my genesis, I'm quoting her now, but I have value and worth. I'm a person. And yeah, I get it on these hard cases of incest, rape, and health of the mother. I get it. But what about that baby like Kathy Barnett? Thank God her mother chose life, and we have a beautiful person out there making a difference.
Yeah, and Kyle asked, and I think this goes to what you just said, why are you so focused on science and not about the woman who is growing the fetus? Why does she not have a say in all this? You talked about the slave trade and how people lost freedoms. We're fighting for freedoms of those people, but now you're trying to take away freedoms of these women. That sounds like slavery.
Yeah, and that's absolute nonsense there. And I say that because that baby, if it's a baby, if it's a human, what is it, a Labrador Retriever, bald eagle? No, even the abortionists say, and I read two quotes from you, that it's a life and deserves a chance to live. Therefore, if it's a baby, so Kyle, you want to take away the rights of that baby? You're okay with murder just because we're stronger?
So it is murder in your eyes.
It absolutely is. Because, look, science says it's a life. Roe v. Wade in 1973, that science was old. Back then, the science books actually believed it was a clump of tissue and flesh. They had no idea what was going on. Yes, they could do x-rays, but they couldn't see the movement debate and the development of the baby. Now with 4D technology, you know, so sonograms plus the sound, that's 4D, we can see and hear what's going on in the gestation development of that little baby, that little girl or boy.
We had an email from Randall, who asked, and you just said that you consider it murder. What would the penalty for a physician that induced or performed an abortion after a heartbeat was detected, what would it be?
So it goes back down to the courts. If it's ruled that that little person is a baby, a human being, then that's murder. And it has to go through the legal procedures.
What about the women who decide to have abortions after?
And that's one thing, Scott, that really troubles me, because I think in the majority of the cases, you know, I have quotes here from the abortion to say, no, the woman knows the baby. I think in many cases they're being lied to and deceived. It goes back to the abortion providers who are providing false information.
All right, well, let's talk about someone, though, that knows what's going on and says, you know, I just found out it's 10 weeks. I just found out I'm pregnant. I can't do this. I'm going to have what would be an illegal abortion. Would that woman be charged for murder?
Okay. So I love that, because that's often used as a red herring as well. Because what percentage of abortions are a result of that? Just an outright choice.
Wait a minute. I don't quite understand. But that would be a choice under if your bill became law.
Yeah.
Okay. But so my question is, you know, would, and again, you can give me a yes or no on this. Would that woman who decided to have an abortion, which would be considered an illegal abortion, be charged with murder?
Okay. Let's go back to the basic question there. Is that a human being? Is that a little boy or girl? If it is, it deserves equal protection under the law.
So you're saying yes?
Yes, I am. If it's a human being, if it's an American citizen there, a little baby, I don't care what nationality it is, it deserves equal rights before the law.
Okay, I'm just told that we don't have one of the calls that was coming in. Here we go with some of the other emails that we have. Blaine says, I became pro-choice when I was working with a coworker. He told me another coworker and his wife were having a baby, but were thinking about aborting it because of the result of some test. That is the moment I realized it's none of his or my business. It's only the parents' business. The senator has based life on the heartbeat, yet doesn't address brain function. If heartbeat were the only criteria of life, we would not permit families and doctors to pull the plug on those who are brain dead. Simply having a heartbeat, a heart that beats, does not make us human. What do you say to that?
Well, I just think that's utter nonsense as well, because let's go back to the U.S. National Library of Medicine once again. At this point of gestation, the baby doesn't say even fetus. Most medical journals would say that. This is a federally funded nonpartisan group. Babies' hearts continue to grow and now beats at a regular rhythm as it would for any person throughout the gestation and the rest of their life. Life is determined by heartbeats. And if you cease having a heartbeat, now I know there's artificial measures to keep life going, but 99% of the times, if we had a medical emergency, there's no heartbeat, you're declared dead.
So but it begins the same and ends with life. With brain function, too.
Oh, sure. And that comes within a week or two later. And obviously, the baby develops over 9 months. That's why it stays in a womb nine months and doesn't pop out earlier. Of course, as low as 20 weeks now, there's babies surviving out of the womb. And our advances in technology and science advanced so rapidly over the past 50 years, we didn't even have a chance to talk about genetics. We know scientifically, when there's conception, that's one unique individual that'll never exist again in eternity. And that person deserves a chance and equal rights before the law.
Senator, we're almost out of time. We're going to be talking with one of your colleagues who opposes this bill in just a few minutes. So where does this go? Where does this legislation go?
So Stephanie Borowitz's bill, 1977, and Senate Bill 912, and I love that 912, the day after 9/11, so there's hope.
I thought there was some significance to the numbers of the bill. Yeah.
And I didn't pick it. It was just random. But okay, because I hope had 1973, but I was already taken. But anyway, it goes before the relevant committees, Health and Human Services committees in either side of the House, and the committee chairs will decide to advance it or not. It'll go on a vote. I believe in the House, it'll advance within a few weeks here.
You know, the courts have struck these down around the country.
Well, so there's 19 cases now, or 19 states that have advanced legislation. We're number 19, by the way. And with the changes in the Supreme Court and probably the soon retirement of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's had, sadly, another medical episode, I'm not wishing her any ill. It's sad. But we disagree on this issue here. I believe she'll be replaced with a more rational person on this whole issue.
Well, and, you know, one other thing I will bring up, even the National Right to Life has, Tennessee had a bill that was went even further than this one. But the National Right to Life said, obviously, we want to see Roe versus Wade overturned, but we'd rather do it incrementally than what, you know, a bill like yours, which many would consider pretty radical.
Actually, a conception bill would be the radical one. And so I think we have a very rational approach. That's why, Scott, I've based this off of science and medicine. Look, I got a PhD in for master's degree. I know how to do research. I look at the facts and make my judgment based off information. Dr. Kinney, the founder of microeconomics, said, my opinion changes when my information changes. What do you do? And I ask the people on the other side of the aisle, please take a hard look at the information. Let's come to reason and have a great discussion. We had a great discussion here today. That's how it should be across both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. And we can walk away as friends.
Republican State Senator Doug Mastriano, thank you very much for being with us today. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Coming up tomorrow, there will not be a Smart Talk on tomorrow at 9 o'clock because the impeachment hearings will start tomorrow morning at 9. But coming up on Monday, we will have a program. We'll be back. And Noel King, who is morning anchor, morning edition host on NPR, she will be with us on Tuesday. We actually will have a recorded conversation with Noel King. And I want to pass that along because I'll be talking with her tomorrow morning. If you have a question or a comment for Noel King about NPR, about the news today that we hear, you could send us an email at smarttalk@witf.org. You've heard from one of the sponsors of the Heartbeat Bill, which would ban abortions after a heartbeat has been detected, usually at between 6 and 8 weeks of pregnancy. Now we're joined by a legislator who opposes the bill, Democratic State Senator Lindsey Williams of Allegheny County. Senator Williams, welcome to the program.
Hi, Scott. Thank you for having me.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Facebook, you can leave a question or a comment, WITF's Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. All right, Senator, you probably heard Senator Mastriano. I'm sure you're familiar with the reasons that he supports this legislation, sponsored this legislation. Why do you oppose it?
Well, I oppose it because it would be an effective ban on abortion for women in Pennsylvania. And women should have the ability and do have the constitutional right to have that choice in a conversation with her doctor and her family and make a choice that is right for her.
But as, I mean, I don't think it's any secret. And Senator Mastriano and others who call themselves pro-life would come right out and say it, that what they're looking for is to ban or to overturn Roe versus Wade, ban abortion overall, because they see the fetus as a human life. So when you say that you oppose it based on what is now law, I mean, this is a constant battle for people on your side.
It is. It is. And I think, you know, Senator Mastriano has said he wants to talk about this and talk about it in terms of science. But saying that this is a heartbeat bill is really misleading to the public, because what it is a ban of abortion at 6 weeks. There is no heart, there is no heartbeat. At that time, it's a fetal pole, and what's measured at 6 weeks is electric activity in the fetal pole. And so that's very different, and when you actually explain to people what this bill is, they're opposed to it.
Well, let's talk about the courts before we get into some of the scientific and medical issues. The Supreme Court decided in 1973 in Roe versus Wade that a woman had a right to have an abortion if she chose to. However, here we are 50 years later, almost 50 years later, the Supreme Court looks much different. It's much more conservative. And not only that, but President Trump has appointed a lot of conservative federal judges. My point being that you may not be able to count on the courts to continue to uphold Roe versus Wade.
Yes, and that's scary, because what's going to happen is abortions are not going to stop. What is going to stop is safe abortions for women, their access to being able to have the health care that they need in consultation with their doctor. We're going to go backwards to having abortions in alleys and unsafe and women dying. We're going to have skyrocketing rates of both maternal mortality and infant mortality, and that is not where I want to go.
But Senator, I think that, you know, there was a lot of that pre-1973, but if you go with Senator Mastriano's argument that this is a human life, and he said that a woman who chose to have an abortion illegally would be charged with murder.
Yeah, I was shocked when he said that. I think that takes out the it puts the life of an, it puts that embryo over the life of the woman. And, you know, it, in this legislation, if something were to happen, there are conditions, heart conditions, where a woman just being pregnant, she could die. And if a woman finds out that she's pregnant at 8 weeks and she needs to have an abortion to save her life, there is no language in this bill that would allow that woman to have an abortion and save her own life at the at that point.
Senator, doesn't this come back to when the beginning of life, I mean, and this goes back, you know, 50 years as well, when the beginning of life starts, I mean, as the heartbeat, as Senator Mastriano said, that it's determined in his mind and those who support this bill, that when there is a heartbeat detected, as you said, and as I quoted from the ACCU, that, you know, that this is just cells that are pulsating and would develop into a heart. But the bottom line is that there seems to be no agreement on when life starts. Isn't that like the gist of this argument?
I think it might be. And at that point, it's someone else trying to put their religious beliefs about when life begins onto other women. And we have a concept right now, we have that the current law is whether a fetus is viable, and that's a medical determination that occurs much later in pregnancy, and I think that that is where we should stay.
Well, okay, let me read you a quote, and I think Senator Mastriano said this as well, that when a person is declared dead is when the heartbeat stops. Why doesn't life begin when a heart can be heard?
That, I mean, that is not what the medical community has said that should be. And I am not a medical doctor. Senator Mastriano is not a medical doctor. I shouldn't, and he shouldn't be making that decision. We should be looking to, you know, our obstetricians and gynecologists to determine what that means.
Senator, we have a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, but let me go through some of the emails. A listener says, I find it unconscionable that so many will criticize any man who speaks up against abortion. After all, it takes both a man and a woman to create life. Why are they not allowed a voice in this conversation? How do you answer that?
For me, that's challenging, but I think, you know, everybody has a voice in legislation, on all legislation, but for me, because women are making this decision and it is women's bodies, their voice is more important to me and their perspective is more important.
But when you say, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but you know, the point that the listener makes is that it did take two people, so why doesn't the father have more of a say in this issue?
Because it is ultimately, it is a woman's body, and it she is the one that has to go through 9 months of pregnancy, and it is her life who might be jeopardized if that is not a viable pregnancy.
We have another listener email for you, Senator Williams, wants to know, how far does this extend? For example, if a woman wants to drink heavily, use drugs, or engage in any other behavior known to be harmful to the fetus, should she be able to do so without consequences? Where do you draw the line, or is there no line?
I think that's a different thing. I think that is distracting from this bill, and these are women, you know, that may be facing a very difficult decision. They may, 10 weeks in, find out that there's some kind of fetal abnormality, and I think that we are confusing the issue with that question. Mm.
And I'm just going to read through, since we do have so many. John, a medical doctor, says, the issue is a morality issue, and based on religion, conservative Christians in particular, this nation was started by people who did not want the government to establish a religion. The government should stay out of this issue. If you don't believe an abortion, don't have one, but don't dare tell anyone else. They must subscribe to your religious views. Do you see it that way?
I do. I do. I believe that this is a very intimate decision between a woman and her doctor, and it should be based on medical and that woman's personal feelings, and it should not be based on somebody else's religious belief or what some legislator in Harrisburg believes.
Do we have a call, Craig? No, not yet? Okay. No one wants more abortions. I mean, I think we all can agree on that. Obviously, the best way to avoid an abortion is not get pregnant in the first place. One of our earlier callers talked about this. Teen pregnancy rates are actually down. The number of abortions being performed are actually down. Why do you see that trend, and how do you keep that trend from happening in the first place?
I think we see that trend because we're seeing more actually scientific teaching in high school and schools, exposing students to what is safe sex and what are safe relationships, and that we are seeing access to more health care, things like Obamacare providing free access to birth control really helps women make the choice to start or grow a family when they want to do that.
Another email, Ann says, a woman most often does not even know she is pregnant at 6 to 8 weeks. I consider myself both pro-choice and pro-life. Let me explain. God gave us free will and a conscience, right? Keeping or terminating a pregnancy is a decision that needs to be kept a personal one, not legislated by a group of men. And she says, convenient as to how government intervention is just an okay when it comes to restricting a woman's right to choose. It is the woman's free will that will determine the fate of her fetus and her conscience alone that must live with that decision. Your thoughts?
I agree. I mean, many women do not know that they're pregnant at 6 weeks. And so that's why I say this bill, we can't just gloss over that fact, because it would basically ban abortion in Pennsylvania. Most abortions in Pennsylvania are done before 13 weeks. Women are finding out they're pregnant, looking at their options, talking with their doctor, and getting the test that they need, and making that decision in a responsible way. And women are smart and responsible and should be allowed to have this choice.
Let's take a phone call from Kelly in Harrisburg. Kelly, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Here's an argument for your fellow across the aisle. Women are human beings. They keep trying to stuff us back into the bottle and put us back into servitude. You want to talk about slavery? We only got the right to vote 100 years ago. Women are still regarded as property in many places all over the world, including in this country by segments of the population. I'm tired of this stupid red herring argument of when does life begin? When a woman finds out she's pregnant, she knows it means a baby. She knows it means pregnancy, labor, delivery, and taking care of that child for the next 18 or more years. Trust women. Yes, please. We know what we're doing. This is not an easy decision. I had a miscarriage. I still miss that baby. But I have two other living children. They need me. Now I have grandchildren, and they need me. There is still not enough support and care for women with young children in this country.
Kelly, I'm going to have to move on because we are getting so many calls, but thank you very much for your call. Senator, your thoughts?
Kelly, thank you so much for sharing your personal story, and you're right, we should absolutely trust women to make this decision.
Senator, and we only have a few minutes left, but and there's so much to get to, but I want to go back to some of Senator Mastriano's arguments. You know, he was quoting a lot of, you know, what he called science, and he was talking about how science has changed different points of view over the last 50 years. Do you have an open mind when it comes to those kind of things? Or is this, I mean, this is such a difficult issue to discuss. There seems to be no gray area. Do you have an open mind? Would you listen to something that Senator Mastriano has said is that he is quoting as science?
I think what the quote you use, what he calls science, is accurate. He's picking and choosing things when actually the vast majority of the medical community opposes this legislation. But I, you know, let him have a hearing. Let him talk. Let him bring actual medical experts in and testify to legislators. I would absolutely attend a hearing.
Let's go to Chris in Harrisburg. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'd just like to say, you know, I'd have to agree with what the common consensus is with the callers. You know, I feel as though that no legislation, no representative or any other person in Congress should have the right to decide who does what with their own body. It's not their place. The only place is for the person making that decision, and that's pretty much all I'd like to say.
All right, Senator, I'm not looking for a consensus on any of this, just trying to bring in opinions. Senator, as I said, this is so difficult to have this conversation. I have to admit that this is like one of my least favorite topics to discuss on the air because it is so contentious and there appears to be no gray area. I think we all can agree that we would like to see fewer abortions. So with that said, is there any room for compromise when one side believes that life starts, that once life is detected with a heartbeat at 6 to 8 weeks, that you know that no, an abortion would be illegal after that, and the other believes that this is the woman's right to choose up until 24 weeks?
I'm not sure if there is a way to compromise the rights of women to make a choice about their own body. I think that there is so many things that we could be doing to protect women, to protect babies when they are born. We should have, you know, access to prenatal care. You know, we should have early childhood education. We should have more access to child care, affordable child care. There are things that we need to do to actually protect women to make this choice.
Let me bring in something else that George asked, and I think a lot of people would agree with this as well, whether you're pro-choice, pro-life. Is this not an issue that needs to address our societal backslide? Abortion should not be viewed or held as a method of birth control or an excuse for promiscuity. Do you see that happening?
That is not something that happens. Women are not using abortion for birth control. Women are using birth control as they should be. And when they need an abortion, they should have access to a safe and legal abortion. They're not women. That's a red. That as Senator Mastriano would like to say, it's a red herring that women are using abortion as birth control.
Senator Mastriano compared this, used some historical comparisons. The slave trade talked about at one time that slavery was legal in this country. I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but when you hear comparisons like that, I mean, we're talking different time, different place, but you know, he is right that at one time it was considered legal and courts ruled for slave owners at that time. When you hear arguments like that, what do you think?
I think if you're talking about slave trade, you're not talking about the bill and what women are doing today and what we should be doing today. I think it's a distraction, and we should be talking about the issue at hand.
Mm-hmm. Let's try to take one more call. Nancy is in Greencastle. Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just don't understand guys who can get so wound up about something that they'll never experience, and it really has nothing to do with them. Until they can grow a uterus, they can only be part of the group that starts the problem and are never going to have to deal with the consequences. And hearing him compare this to slavery, it would be easier to, and being so concerned about black women's welfare is really hard to swallow. They might be more credible if they were murders are happening on the planet every day from violence, toxic pollution, et cetera. Let's start taking care of that.
So,
and
Nancy,
bottom line, the argument seems to be more about wielding power and keeping it. And it would be easier to believe their arguments for keeping women barefoot and pregnant. And until women can block men from using Viagra, I really can't take these guys too seriously, and they just scare me.
Nancy, thank you very much for your call. I don't know if Viagra has a whole lot to do with it other than what's funded, what's not, what's paid for, and what's not. But Senator Williams, we're almost out of time. And I don't want people to question the people who oppose abortion, that, I mean, they truly believe their beliefs that, you know, this is a human being. Obviously, this is a very difficult discussion. Senator Williams, I want to thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for having this discussion.
No Smart Talk tomorrow. We will be back Monday. Noel King of NPR with us on Tuesday.